Okay, 005, we're learning Chavis Halvava Sunday night in the Schaefer House, Chav Gimel Tammuz, Le'ilu Nishmas Chaim Ephraim Ben Natan, Rasam. And indeed, he should have the schus of tonight's learning. Of the Schaefer's open the house every Sunday night, so he can get the schus of every Sunday night. But the Yahrzeit is especially appropriate. If it came out Sunday night, Hashem's in charge of the calendar. I'll tell you a story. I'll tell you a Dvar Chochma from my older sister. So get it on tape? Why not? So my father-in-law passed away. And within the Shiva, so a baby was born. A baby boy was born to my son. So everybody said, oh, like, wow, look at that. He's going to have a name right away. Isn't that wonderful? And I had this feeling that my son was starting to, like... He was starting to maybe, I don't know, I felt, you know, like sort of almost resent, like everybody's linking the birth of his first child. Everybody's like linking it to my father-in-law. Like, you know, hey, I had a baby, like stop talking about, I felt, I don't know if it's true. Maybe I'm overly sensitive, but I felt, you know. So I expressed this to my older sister on the phone. I have a sister that lives in Flatbush. That he's sick and tired of people telling him already, you know, this is so wonderful. You know, we all know what the name's going to be. Like, there's not even, he can't even surprise anybody with the name. Like, he's stuck. He has to name it. And he did. Today was the bris. So my sister said to me, it's not, people are not telling him. Hashem's telling him it, what to name the baby. This is so, it's so obvious. I mean, if he had the baby born and she was overdue and it happened now, and so Hashem's telling you what to name the baby. It's not about people. You know, it's not people telling you. So here also I'm telling you, if Hashem worked out that the earth should be Sunday night, so it's Hashem that's giving him the schus and the Ilui Nishma. So, okay. I want to go back. I really want to review last week's thing. It's a very important yisod, and I feel maybe I didn't explain it well, or maybe you have some questions about it, and we should really flush out the inyan much better. And that's on page Kuf Lamed Hay in the printing that we're using. And it's Hakdomah HaRevi is the fourth premise that allows you to have full bitachon. And that is Sheyashgiach. He should see to it, V'yishtadol Ma'od Ma'od, he should try very hard. Lamod b'ma shechivei Hashem yisale yishader v'yisrome me'avodoso v'kiyom mitzvosov. He should try very hard to do Hashem's will. That's mitzvos aseis. Ulehishomer mima shehaziro. That's to refrain from doing isurim. And the Chavis Halvavos makes it sound like almost childish. Kifi shehu rotzeh sheyaselo Hashem b'meshe botacholav. Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense for you to want Hashem to do things for you. You know Hashem is capable and he wants to, and he's a Bala Rachamim, and he wants to do chesed, and he knows what you need, and he, you know, all the things we learned about till now. And then you go ahead, and you go ahead and you don't do his will, but you want him to do your will. So there's something discordant about that. Now, it sounds, I think, it might sound a little strange, like you're talking about Hashem, so, like it's not, you're talking about a person, so it's not like he's childish, like, oh, you don't do whatever you want. But that is the system he set up, and we'll talk about it now a little more. K'mo she'omru kadmoneinu aleim ha'sholom, Chazal really said this in a mission in Pirkei Avos, and he's really... The Chavis Halvavos is opening our eyes because we've learned this mission in Pirkei Avos. Either we never have, or we've learned it 100 times, and I'm sure we never connected it to Midas HaBitachon. You know, you learn the Mishnah, and you say, yeah, okay. But it has to do with Bitachon. Asei Ritzono Kirtzoncha, make Hashem's will your will. When you want to do Hashem's will, then the response is Kadeshi Yasir Ritzoncha Kiritzono. That's what Chazal are laying down the rule in Pirkei Avos. when you first of all, it means doing mitzvahs not by rote. It means, I think, when you say do Hashem's will, make Hashem's will your will, so that He'll make your will His will, we're talking about doing Hashem's will. Now, you can do a mitzvah by rote, and if you do it by rote, what's called mitzvahs anoshim ulumada, you're not really doing Hashem's will. And you're not, what the Mishnah is saying is that if you develop your desire that you want to serve Hashem and you want to do His will, there'll be like almost a melding of wills, and He will respond. It's like Mida Keneged Mida, call it. You know, but for that you have to want to do His will. It's not enough to do a mitzvah sanashe melumada, where you just do it by rote. And I would suggest, although it's a chiddush, maybe I'm wrong even, but I would suggest even that sometimes we're faced with the spirit of the law, but not the letter of the law, and we look for a shortcut. But when you do mitzvahs, you're really focused on Hashem's will, and you want to do like Reach Nichoach, it says. Hashem takes pleasure when we listen to His will. That's what the words Reach Nichoach means. She'naser Ritzoni. That's how Chazal explained it. The smoke of a carbon is pleasant to Hashem. That odor is pleasant to Hashem. Hashem doesn't like smells. It means that you brought the carbon and you had the right kavanas. You meant to do His will. Maybe you don't understand exactly what the point of the carbonas saw, but you know that you want to serve Hashem, and this is what Hashem wants, and you want to do His will. So if you do that, there's a midah connected midah that Hashem responds in kind. And then the Mishnah goes further and says, "Batel ritzon chomit ne ritzono," void your own will when faced with a conflict, so to speak, with the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that really addresses Isurim. You know, so you say, nobody here wants to eat chaza, but we all we want to take nekama, and we want to lash back, and we want to maybe cut corners, we want to get angry, right? And we have desires that are not so kosher. So, batel ritzon chavanei ritzono. You say, Hashem doesn't want me to take nekama. And you squash your will. That's a very high madrega. But this is what the Pirkei Avos is saying. If you squash, so the first part of the sentence was really addressing more mitzvah haseis, positive acts. Make His will your will, and the midah keneged midah will be that your will be His will. And the second part is squash, void your own will. And that means if you have a will to do something that Hashem considers inappropriate or wrong or evil, or not correct, you shouldn't do that. So you should squash your will, void it, because that's Hashem's will. And then the midah keneged midah will even be that if someone wants to harm you, someone is coming against you, he'll be mevatel their ratzon b'nei ratzoncha. That's the Mishnah in Avos. Now the Chavis Halvavos sees that as a bitachon statement, because if the system HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up is that you do His will and there's a midah keneged midah there, so he's framing that into the midah of bitachon, and he's saying bitachon has to make sense. Part of bitachon is that you have to try. See, he's very careful in his first two words. You have to try hard and try to see to it. Observe. Yashgiach. Be a mashgiach. Overlook. Oversee what you're doing and try hard. You're not always going to be successful. So he's very, very careful in his wording. Try hard and oversee what you're doing, that you're trying to do Hashem's will. Then you could have bitachon. But otherwise, it's not rational. We're going to come back to there's a very large question here that many ask. We'll come back to it in a moment.
V'amar HaKosuv, he quotes a pasuk that says, B'tach b'Hashem v'asei tov. So the Chavis Halvavah sees the pasuk as saying, you can have B'tachon on Hashem, but that's only if v'asei tov. Shchon Eretz ur Eyamunah, if you have faith in Hashem and you believe in Hashem and you act accordingly, so then you can be boteach. For Omar, another pasuk says, Tov Hashem l'kovav l'nefesh tidvishenu. Hashem is good to those who seek Him, to those who place their reliance on Him, but only if they seek Him out, meaning if they want to do His will. Avol misha botach al Hashem v'hu moreid bo, but someone who's boteach on Hashem and rebels against Him, kama sochalu, he's foolish, v'kama chosra daitri v'hakara, so he doesn't really understand how the system works. And the Chavis Halevavos gives almost a childish marshal. He gives a marshal of people. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. The Barroso, he says, look, you're relying on someone to do you a favor. And he says, okay, you know, I'll do it for you. Just do me a favor. Can you do this and this for me? Oh, his hero, or he warned him against doing something. Alezadovar for himra, and the person violated his benefactor's will. Mashakovalo for gia dovar l'misha b'teachelov. He found out about it. Tia foras pekudosol. Certainly, the violation of the benefactor's will would be the best reason in the world. Hasiba hachazaka le'imiloi mashapotacholav bo. That he wouldn't do what the person had expected and had relied on him to do. Kal v'chomer. Mishaover alazoras Hashem o mitzvosov, a kal b'chomer who violates Hashem's azharos, meaning a lav, o mitzvosov, a mitzvah sasei, asher hiftiach socher v'yir aleihem onesh. So what's the kal b'chomer? It's two parts of the Chavis Halevavos. He compares it, and then he says it's a kal b'chomer. Kal v'chomer means, right, when you have something and you say, if here it's like this, then somewhere else certainly it's like that. So, by the kal v'chomer, he says very clearly what he means. Asher hifti aschar, if Hashem promises you a reward for being good, v'yiyad aleihem, and he says you'll get an onesh for doing bad. So besides the very dynamic of how can you expect someone to do something to you if you violate their will, and you said last week, you know, you're going to your rich uncle for a loan, and he says, but don't walk on the grass, and you're like, you walk up to the door and you trample the grass, then you knock on the door, like why do you think he's not going to slam the door in your face? So that's his comparison. Then he says kal v'chomer Hashem. So the kal v'chomer is because Hashem tells you in the Torah things are not going to work out for you if you're not good, and they will work out for you. So you have that schar v'onesh thing. So certainly you can't expect sheyachziv tikvas haboteach olavim himrohu, that you'll be turned aside. You'll be disappointed, and you'll be tachon, and you're not worthy. Then he says an interesting thing, and we'll stop here, and I'm going to elaborate. He says, you're not worthy of being called a boteach al Hashem. So I said to my, I didn't understand that phrase. You are a boteach in Hashem. Why does he say you're not worthy of being called a boteach in Hashem? You're a boteach in Hashem, except you're doing something else wrong. You're Mechal Shabbos, let's say. Took Lashon Hara. So, you are boteach in Hashem, but you have no right to be. Maybe he says the system doesn't work that way. It'll reject you eating the fruits of your bitachon. But he says, like, you can't be called the boteach el Hashem. Now the truth is, the Chavis Halevavos here is very, very. This is a very difficult Chavis Halevavos, and everyone talks about this. First of all, we have the Chavis Halevavos himself says, and we had this previously, that a major fundamental principle of bitachon is that Hashem will give you things even if you don't deserve it. And without that, you can't. It was in Perek Rishon when he defined bitachon, and then when he said the seven things that allow you to have bitachon, in anyone, that was one of the seven things, that you have to have the premise that he'll do for you even if you don't deserve it. Otherwise, you know, who can say I deserve that Hashem should do it? I can never rely on him for anything. I'm not such a good person. So the Chavin Volva seems to contradict himself. Previously he said, both in the definition of bitachon and in the seven attributes that allow you to have bitachon, he said the realization and the understanding and the acceptance that Hashem wants to do chesed even to people who are not worthy. And now he's coming along and saying that it doesn't make sense. That's another question. Also, there really is, it's a stira. It's a stira to the Chavis Halvavis from Gemaras. There are Gemaras, there are Gemaras that talk about Rishoyim having bitachon. Rishoyim more in Shabbos about the time of the Churban of the first Beis Hamikdash, that they were Rishoyim. Okay, I don't see the Gemara in Brachos, but in Shabbos it says very explicitly that Rishoyim hoyu ela shetolu bitchonam b'makom. Gemara seems to say explicitly, that there were Rishoyim in the time of the first Beis Hamikdash that weren't complete. Yeah, Rishoyim Hain, Elishad Tolu Bitchonon, B'mishomar V'hoya Ha'olam. So Hashem punishes them, and the Marsha explained, but he doesn't wipe them out completely. He eases up because they had bitachon, and it's a weird bitachon. The Marsha says, Marsha describes it. Hashem created the world, so Hashem's going to sustain us. Hashem's not going to destroy us, even though we're doing aveiros. They had true bitachon in Hashem. They felt Hashem's not going to mess them up. Hashem's. So you have this Gemara, and there's almost, the Ramban says so explicitly also. The Ramban wrote a sefer on bitachon, and he says Hashem, he brings down the pasuk that the Chavis Halvavos brings down, but he sees in it the exact opposite meaning of the Chavis Halvavos. This he can't escape from. The Chavis Halvavos brings down the pasuk betach b'Hashem v'asei tov. So the Chavis Halvavos reads the pasuk betach b'Hashem, but only if asei tov, only if you're going to do good. The Ramban looks at this pasuk and he says, "B'tach Hashem, you could do that first, and v'asei tov, you could do that second. You could be boteach b'Hashem without, and you're not doing good things. And then v'asei tov." And they all bring down this pasuk as a chazal, Tilim Lamed Beis, pasuk Yud. Rabbi Macholvim La Rosha, the Haboteach Bashem Chesed Yisov Avenu. So Chazal, the Medrash Tilum, you shouldn't read the pasuk as having two halves. That the Rosha has machoven, but Papotech Hashem Chesed Yisov Avenu. But rather, Rabbi Machovim Rasha, and nevertheless, if he is Boteach Bashem, then Chesed Yisov Avenu. That's what the Medrash and Tilum says. So you have all these, the Ramban and the Gemara, seemingly, and this Chazal, Tehillim, and really the Chavis Avos himself. So we said a teretz. I wasn't so happy with the teretz, the truth is, because, I don't know, maybe I should be. One teretz is, as we said, that you try your best. And that's why the Chavis Halvavos here talks about trying in his first two words of the paragraph. And all he's talking about here is a moreid, someone that rebels. Even though he doesn't say those words, he means someone that doesn't try. We talked about laziness last week. Laziness could be... Hashem knows if you're doing your best. That's what it boils down to. And even if you're lazy, but it could be you're doing your best according to the Madrega that you're on now. And you have to work on your laziness. But as long as you have not worked on your laziness, perhaps, so now you're doing your best. So if Hashem knows you're doing your best, that's one approach. That the Chavis Halvavos previously is talking about from the perspective of an objective standard. So you don't have to be worthy, because who's worthy in the eyes of Hashem? Hashem gives us life and Hashem gives us everything. So anything we do wrong really should mess us up. So Hashem gives, even if you're not worthy. Here he's talking about a rebellious person, someone that doesn't care. Or I'm adding someone that doesn't even try. So that's too lazy, meaning they're not doing their best. You could do your best, but you're lazy, and laziness is one of the meters you have to work on. But right now, you're doing your best. Or it could be you're lazy and you're not really doing your best, that you have the ability now to overcome your laziness. So that only Hashem knows. No one knows the truth, only Hashem. But that would be one answer to the Chavis Halvavos. So that's a good answer, and that really takes care of the problem. So the Gemara is talking about when they're not rebellious, even though it's a little strange, it's talking about the Rishon of Bayashani, but maybe they weren't rebellious, maybe they did it l'teyodon, maybe they did it because their desires got the better of them, but they still had bitachon, so Hashem responds in kind. Here, older, maybe. But I was very intrigued by the phrase that he's not worthy of being called the Boteach Bashem. That phrase just very much intrigued me. What does he mean? He's not worthy of being called. He is Boteach Bashem, fully 100%. He's doing something else wrong. So he's messed up. So, right, the guy that relies on his uncle for a loan, then he tramples his grass. So he's relying on his uncle for a loan. He's saying, oh, you're not really relying on him for a loan. Yes, I am. I did a foolish thing, maybe. But I'm still relying on him just as much. So I was very intrigued by that. So I was thinking, maybe the pshat is that the Chavis is saying something very deep. He's saying, with Hashem, it's different. If you truly, truly, we talked about this, it's a lifetime of work. If you truly feel that you're dependent on Hashem, and like everything is dependent on Him, and you're nothing without Him, you can't do anything without Him, and He's the source of everything, and you're really like you're holding there. So really, under normal circumstances, like you're not going to go flout His will. It just doesn't make sense that your bitachon must be flawed. It can't be. It can't be. You can't tell me that a person has full reliance truly on Hashem, because that really presupposes a premise that a person has a certain awareness of Hashem, and an awareness of Hashem's power, and an awareness of Hashem's rachamim, and then you turn around like so. But theoretically, it's possible. That's my point. But I could see that theoretically, it's possible. In other words, it just doesn't make sense. There wouldn't be such a person. Like, what would be in his mind? Like, what are you thinking? But the truth is, theoretically, it is possible. Theoretically, it's possible to have bitachon and just to, you know, be a Rasha. So that's my second suggestion as a teretz. The Chayus Halvavus here is really just saying that under normal circumstances, a person that's going to flout the will of Hashem and is not going to, you know, do Hashem's will is not really a Baal Bitachon. That's where that sentence comes in. It's not real. It doesn't make sense. He's paying lip service to Bitachon maybe. But a normal person is not going to be a Rasha, is not going to do, you know, is not going to act against Hashem if he truly has bitachon, because truly having bitachon means an awareness of Hashem's existence and power and chesed, goodness, essential, you know, goodness and rachamim. It's theoretically possible, and that's what the Gemara perhaps means, and that's what the Ramban perhaps means. It's not by definition. It's not that the definition of a tzaddik is something. There's nothing intrinsically contradictory. It's not rational. It wouldn't happen. So therefore, the Chayim Salvavus is saying, that's what the Chayim Salvavus is saying, that a premise to bitachon, you want to develop your bitachon, is if you have to develop your will to do Hashem's will. Because there must be two things in logic that are not inherently contradictory, but they just don't make sense together. It doesn't make sense that they should coexist. So that's what Chayim Salvavus is saying. It doesn't make sense that bitachon and Hashem should coexist with someone that's not eager to do Hashem's will. It's like he's living a contradiction. He wants Hashem to do for him, and he expects it, or he anticipates it. He's waiting for it, but it is, the person's living a lie. It's theoretically possible. If you really, there could be such a person who is able to be aware of Hashem and everything, and have bitachon in Hashem. Apparently, the people in the first place of Mikdash was capable of doing that. He said, "I'm going to live the lifestyle I want, and I know Hashem is, and I have faith in His goodness, and He's not going to just lash out at me." And the Marshal said, "They said Hashem's not going to destroy us. He made a world; He wants it to exist. So He's not going to destroy us. So we're really home free." So they got punished, but they didn't get punished at Kliya. They weren't destroyed totally. So it's theoretically possible. The Chavis Lovus is talking more on a practical level. You're living a lie. You're living a contradiction. It's not real. It's not true. It can't be. It's like too... It's almost existentially impossible. But because it is theoretically possible, it's not the definition, so that's what the Gemara maybe is talking about. Yeah.
But as you just said, well, you didn't say that, as you were saying it, if they have a twisted sense of bitachon, then it makes sense that they can be, because they know, they have total bitachon that God's going to protect me and He's going to give me what I need. So I can do whatever I want, because my bitachon is such that I know that I can do what I want.
It is theoretically possible. It's theoretically possible. I don't think a normal mindset wouldn't like have the audacity to think that way. He'd be nervous.
Maybe they would think that Hashem would understand that they couldn't do certain mitzvot because Hashem is so loving and so
I always make fun of people that say Hashem will understand. Yeah.
Right, like that kind of the attitude, but even it could go further that maybe they don't keep Shabbos, or maybe they used to and then they don't anymore, but Hashem will understand that
it is possible.
Because if you have to work on Shabbos,
but then you have to,
But
you have to explain what the Chavis Halvavis is talking about. So when the Chavis Halvavis says that it really can't coexist, there's two answers on the table. Chavis Halvavis says in this paragraph, part of having bitachon is that you want to do Hashem's will. That Hashem set up a system, as explained in Pirkei Avos, you want to do Hashem's will, and only then can you anticipate or expect that He will do your will. So we said, but Chavis Halvavis, you just got through saying a page ago that bitachon you can have even if you're not worthy, because Hashem does chesed. So we said two answers. One is that if you try your best, that's all Hashem wants. And here he's talking about a rebellious person, or a person that's not trying their best. The other suggestion that we're making is that essentially it really is contradictory. Not by definition, but in the practical world, a person that's going to rely on Hashem and be cognizant of Hashem and have such a sense of reality of Hashem, it's not going to flaunt Hashem's will. And that's what the Chavis Halvavis is saying here, that if you are flaunting Hashem's will, it's a sign that your bitachon is really very flawed. It's not real. You're not really a Baal bitachon. The Gemara, the Ramban, and everything else we said, so as Mr. Sonnenberg explained it, it is theoretically possible that a person could say Hashem will understand, and Hashem, I just can't bring myself to do this, or I'm fulfilling the spirit of the law, if not the letter of the law, and I'm better than anyone else around me, but I know Hashem is good, and Hashem wants to be good, and He'll give me what I need. I'm like a child that's relying on Him, and He's not going to turn me down. It's a theoretical possibility. So that's perhaps what the Gemara is talking about. But this is a difficult idea, and it really is very, very nogeya, because as I said a few weeks ago, we all have this sort of feeling that we're undeserving. And that really, in my experience in talking to people, this is one of the two major roadblocks to bitachon, that we feel we don't deserve Hashem's goodness. Like, how can I expect Hashem to X, Y, Z? Like, maybe I don't deserve it. And we're told that it's not the case, that Hashem responds to reliance on Him. He actually responds, as we explained. You rely on Him, you're mechuyev to rely on Him. And then you get a bonus, that He responds in kind to your act of reliance when you do. But that wouldn't make sense if you're not living a life in consonance with Hashem's will. But that's what you have to make sure. You have to make sure you're not living a contradiction. That if you know what Hashem's omnipotence, Hashem's, so you're going to act that way. So maybe you'll slip. So that's what you say. Maybe you'll slip, and so you don't have to worry. Hashem's not this mean ogre that's just standing there with a whip, and like the moment you slip, be like, aha, I don't have to give you now things because you. He's not. That's what Chavis Halvavis is saying. That's not Hashem.
Hashem is kind, and Hashem is a balarachim, and Hashem wants to make you happy, and Hashem knows you're going to slip. It's okay. Relax. You're going to relax. But you have to live a life. You have to try. I don't know. So I'm really now combining in a challenge all these ideas we're saying. That you have to make sure you're not fooling yourself, you're not contradicting yourself, that you're trying hard. And that's really, maybe both tables will really end up, like I say, in a chomp. As long as you're not living a lie and you're trying, so then Hashem's not sitting there like picking apart everything you do to see if you deserve it or not. The degree of your reliance will be met in kind with His Shefa, with His being there for you. That's what the Chavis of Lovers is saying.
The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not, the concept of I don't deserve it, but if you're trying your best, but things, let's say, don't go your way, and you're like hoping that they would, then maybe you just don't deserve it.
Well, I don't know. The truth is, the Chavis of Ovis will talk about how to cope with disappointments in Bitachon. You're saying...
But maybe it's not meant to be, but that to you that's a disappointment, and maybe it's like...
I don't think you should think you don't deserve it. I think that the Chavis of Ovis would say don't think that way. You should... Better to think... Not better. Bitachon demands that you think it just wasn't meant to be. Once you follow along the path of, I guess I don't deserve it, Hashem was punishing me, then you can't have bitachon anymore. Because then you'll always think, because tomorrow you'll think already.
But what about schar nefesh? You could get schar, but sometimes you don't get schar right away.
We're not talking about schar, we're talking about bitachon. The system of bitachon where you rely on Hashem to get things is not the schar of anything you do. It's a chiddush. It's not
like childish. Like,
it's not schar. It's I'm relying on Hashem for life, and I'm relying on Hashem for everything in my life. For everything in my life, I'm relying on Him. Bitachon rises above schar. It rises above everything. Tochan says when you take a trip, you're relying on Hashem to get you there safely. When you're going to the store, you're relying on Hashem. You're relying on Hashem for your money, for your parnosa, for your life, for your health, for everything that's going on. It's its own world. The world of Bitachon has nothing to do with Schar Va'onesh, I would say. It's a radical statement. No, it really doesn't. So the question is, what does the Chavis of Lovers here mean? When he says this principle, that to have bitachon, you have to do Hashem's will. You have to try to do Hashem's will. That's what all the Sforim have these... This is a very talked about Chavis HaLomas we're learning tonight. What exactly does he mean? Does he mean you will get an onesh if you're bad? Maybe that's all he means. Okay, I don't want to repeat myself. They say... Then what did he mean when he said a page ago, you don't have to deserve it? Like he's contradicting himself, and he's contradicting a Gemara. Like what exactly does he mean?
Not deserving something isn't the same as an onesh.
Well, if by not deserving you mean it wasn't meant to be, then you're right, and that's how you have to deal with disappointments in bitachon, by saying Hashem. You know, it's not meant to be. I guess it's, I want it, and I'm relying on Hashem to give it to me, and I guess He's telling me that it's not good for me. I believe whatever Hashem does is for the best, and, or Hashem's saying no, and Hashem, you know, for some reason I'm not supposed to have it. So, you say I'm not deserving of it in that sense. But I don't think the Chavis HaLevavos wants us thinking, you know, I really want this job. I really want this job, and then you can get yourself to truly believe—not just say the words, but really believe that you're relying on Hashem to get you the job. You're not relying on
on how, you know, how sharply you answered on the interview, and how on the ball you are, and how you made sure to dress a certain way to impress them. You're really just relying on Hashem, and you didn't get the job.
But you do have to answer sharply on the interview. You do have to dress properly.
That's the next paragraph. that's what we call hishtadlus. What we call hishtadlus, even though I've said countless times I don't like the terms, but that's the term that's commonly used, so I'll use it, hishtadlus, and that's what Chavis of Ovis is going to talk about in the next paragraph. That, and why, and how come, and what are the limitations, and what the next paragraph is as heavy as this one. The next paragraph is hishtadlus, why, how much, when. That's the name. You can invite your friends to the next. I don't know.
Can you go back to what you said about not getting the job? So then what are you supposed to...
I think the Chavis of Ovis does not want you to think Hashem's punishing me because I've been bad. He doesn't want you to think that way.
So why?
He wants you to think it wasn't meant to be.
But are you supposed to put such specific bitachon into, like, let's say it's not the right job for you, so are you supposed to...
mean bitachon doesn't mean to predict the future. Bitachon means that I'm relying on Hashem to give it to me. I'm not relying on my own capabilities. I'm not relying on that I told Shmero to tell his wife, to talk to the boss's wife, to talk to the boss. I'm not relying on that, even if I did it. Because maybe it was an obvious thing to do, and maybe it fit into the next paragraph of Hishtadlus. But I'm relying on Hashem, and I need a shidduch for my child. I'm not relying on the shadchan. I'm not relying on the fact that I'm positioned very well, and I'm not relying on a nadin that I'm offering, and I'm relying on Hashem. That's all there is really in the world. I'm relying on Him. And then if it doesn't happen, so you say, I guess they didn't want it to happen. But the work of bitachon is not to predict the future, and it's not even to... It's okay, it's not that you want a specific thing. That issue is to be raised in tefillah. If we ever talk about tefillah, that's a good question. Should I daven for a specific thing? Should I daven for a specific thing,
right,
or should I just make it more general? But bitachon, you're not predicting, and you're not even expressing that you want a specific thing to happen. That's more tefillah. Mm-hmm. Bitachon is, I'm relying on Hashem to have it happen. In other words, whatever I want to happen, whatever I'm anticipating happening, whether it's to get there safely in my car, or that my child should do a shidduch, whatever is going on in my life, whether it's baking a cake, whether it's crossing the street, I'm relying on Hashem that it should be done and be b'shalom and it should go good. I'm relying on Him. It's not my koach, it's not the koach of the person, it's not my intelligence, it's not my power, it's not my money, it's not my charm. It's Hashem. That's what bitachon is. Okay. Yeah.
So I remember learning